Podtacular 302 Halo 4 Special Editions for August 2nd, 2012.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Daftling.
And today we have two guests from the community with us to talk about some of the Halo 4 special editions and some of the bulletins that we've missed over the past 2 weeks. First off is Farmer Elmo.
Hi there, guys.
Hello, and tell us where you hail from.
Me? I hail from the great United Kingdom, specifically Scotland, of course.
Very nice.
The best part, anyway.
So it's about 1 o'clock for you right now.
Yeah, about that, yeah.
Yeah. So you are up late, sir.
I was up later for the other podcast I did.
All right. And we also have Kalel089.
Yeah, Kalel089.
All right. So, Farmer Emma, why don't you go ahead and give us a little rundown on how you found Podtacular and kind of what you like to do on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I've been an avid listener now for a good part of 3-4 years, but initially I found out about Podtacular when I was working for my uncle, and I needed something new and interesting to listen to on my iPod. So it's just looking through iTunes, and I saw something Halo-related, and I found you guys, and I've not gone back since. I think the only time... No, there's nothing. I've only listened to you guys and your ramblings. It's been pretty good.
All right. Around what episode did you join? Do you remember?
Long time ago. About, 150, call it that.
So about the end of Fumo's reign?
Yeah, I'd say about that.
All right. Very nice. Kalel089, how about you?
You're
more recent addition, right?
Yeah, well, I've been listening for quite some time. About the same time when Fumo Jive was leaving, I was looking for something, some kind of Halo podcast. I was kind of new to podcasts, and I had a Zune, and I was looking for something to kind of fill that slot. And I typed in Halo, and I found you guys. And so I started listening to that not too long after Fumo left.
All right. So you both have been around for about 4 years now.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. It seems shorter than what it really is. I was thinking of maybe about 2 or so years, but looking back, it was quite some time ago.
2008.
Yeah.
It's been I'm still surprised I made it through 300 episodes. About 150
for me. It's
quite
an accomplishment.
But,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have a high episode count behind us now.
Yeah, now you're running into the big leagues and showing your numbers.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the movie 300, right?
Exactly.
like this is delicious. This is Egg Town.
This is Podtac.
You love
it.
All right. It's interesting to see how many people actually listen to the show but aren't registered on the forums. Because we get a significant amount of hits, so on average now we're about 5,000, 6,000 hits per show, and our forums only have maybe about 50 or 60 active members, so it's a really interesting dynamic to see how many people actually just listen to the show and that's it. But we definitely encourage everyone to go to the forums and kind of join in with some of the discussions over there. So
guys, I have big news.
Maybe you do and you just haven't signed up, but we would love for you to join our conversations. What you want to say, Deft?
Yeah, join the political talk 2012 thread. Anyway, I have big news. I saw on the internet Mass Effect 3 and Leviathan DLC announced. Whoa.
They're coming out with more Mass Effect DLC?
Yeah, it says here a Leviathan DLC. It's a single player download content called Leviathan coming later this year. New characters, weapons, and upgrades.
I'll have to play that through my insane run through.
And you said it's a single player?
It's a single player, yeah.
I'm guessing you have to pay for that one.
Yeah. Because
they've been releasing those multiplayer packs that are pretty awesome.
Oh, and then they had the big update that came out 3-4 weeks ago. They redid the whole ending part.
Oh yeah.
That controversy.
Did y'all play through that?
Well, I was actually playing Mass Effect for the first time, and a friend had me go through it, and the download actually came out about 2 days before
I finished
playing. So he basically told me to just get the download and play it through that. So I played it with the extended ending.
Ooh, what you should have done is played it without it and then tried it with it so you could get both sides of the controversy.
But I went back and watched the stuff on YouTube, so.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you got the original ending so you could kind of debate between the two. I wasn't necessarily happy with the new ending, but it was better than the original ending that they put with it, I have to say. Explained a lot more, from what
I could tell.
Yeah,
it seemed like a lot of things were just left open ended.
But it still didn't. Half of it didn't make sense. Like it still was kind of like, why did he stop? You know, spoiler. I don't know if it's considered a spoiler now, but I don't know why he stopped firing. Like enough for him to say like, I'll see you later. And then they're like, okay, well, let's evacuate all these people. And it's like, everybody's dead. Blah. Let's get everybody on the ship and go. And
a plot point like that, you want to drive home emotions, and that's basically what they did.
Yeah. I don't know. It's still a plot device. And it still left it hanging, though. It still didn't seem complete, but I did enjoy it much more.
Oh, yeah. There's some loose ends and...
But any good
story is going to leave you hanging and wanting more.
There's going to be some aspect of it that's just going to be like, wait, what? Oh, never mind. You know, it's just going to, whatever. Just enjoy it.
Exactly. But, all right. So we have kind of been.
One more thing. Mass Effect 3 is going to be a launch title for the Wii U. Who cares?
What?
Really?
Mass Effect 3 for the Wii U?
Yeah, it's gonna be a launch title for the Wii U.
Oh my gosh.
What additional stuff are they gonna add to it for the pad?
There's actually a picture of it. There's a new control scheme to take advantage of the gamepad. So there's a picture of like some.
I guess blue you do stuff. The action wheel on the pad.
It's like a wheel thing in the middle, and it has like square stuff on the sides.
Yeah, that seems like the action wheel.
So is it the Wii U is kind of like a tablet controller, right?
No,
it's got that little touch screen.
So the Wii U is like an actual console that goes into your TV, but it has a screen on the controller to serve as a second.
It's like a tablet controller.
Kind of, yeah. It still has.
It's a Fisher Price tablet. credit to EJY on that one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, are they going to implement it kind of like, you know, how they did the Nintendo DS where it has like the menu screen on your little tablet and the game on the top screen?
I envision that's how it's going to be.
TV, and you'd have like. Certain options here and there, and you just kind of touch it with your fingers. Are they going to have your fingers or a stylus? I didn't see if they're going to use your fingers or.
There's a possibility that there could be a stylus. I don't see why not.
Yeah. I don't know. Some people's fingers might get oily. I didn't know if they had a screen protector on it or if they're going to use a stylus.
I'm sure they'd probably come with one.
Probably both. I hope so. I mean, not like I'm planning to buy it, but you know, just for that information.
Right.
Yeah, they might be all oily. maybe their face is oily, so they can't rub their face against the screen without getting all gross, right?
Yeah, you don't want to go to your friend's house and be like, "Hey, you guys want to play my Wii U? It's got my fingerprints all over it."
Yeah. or they could just like have like a Wii U commercial like promoting like cleanliness, like good hygiene, like don't be an oily sicko, and then it shows like. A guy holding a tablet and like the camera is just showing the tablet and there's like these little like oily like droplets dripping down onto the screen because like he's so oily and disgust.
Oh, that would be nasty. But yeah, maybe it'd be like an Orbit commercial, like keep your controller clean. You know, just use the new Wii U protector for your Wii U controller.
Oh yeah, the band around your wrist to keep the Wii remote from flying and hitting the TV and all that.
Yeah.
Who honestly uses that band?
They have to like baby proof everything.
Well, I'm sure there's like legal reasons why they do that. But
so they don't get sued, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like the same thing why in all their games, they basically tell you, stop playing this game, get the hell off this game, go outside, you fat bastard.
Oh, goodness.
They don't want you to play their games.
Well, they wanted you to work out with the Wii workout board or whatever it was called.
Yeah,
They were like, don't sue us like McDonald's, you know, like playing our games makes you fat. You know, it's like, here, we have something for that. You know, Right. Like, don't get fat playing our games. We've got games that makes you healthy.
Right.
Woo, those are fun.
All right, let's get back to some Halo. So we had some things come out of Comic-Con that we touched on a little bit in some previous shows, but I want to go into a little more detail now that we have more information released. So on the latest bulletin, we actually have some more pictures of the Xbox Halo 4 console, the special edition one that will be shipping when Halo 4 gets released. So we got some nice a variety of good pictures. Like, we have some side pictures and some pictures of the controllers as well, and it definitely looks a lot better than the Reach console does. The case is actually semi-clear, and there's some nice little art done on the case. And they actually did a little bit of paint job inside the case as well. So you can see some of the components that's actually inside the Xbox. And all in all, it looks really cool. The LEDs on the controllers and the Xboxes are now blue. And there's also some custom sounds for the Xbox, which I will insert right now. And those are the sounds. The first one was the power-up sound. The second one was the eject sound. Kind of different from the usual sounds that we have from some of the other Xboxes, but I'm assuming once we see some more Halo 4, we'll understand kind of how they fit in with the rest of the crowd. So, what are your guys' first impressions on the console that we have the potential of buying? Granted, I already pre-ordered mine, so I'm getting it, but what do you guys think about it?
Looks awesome.
It looks pretty freaking sweet. If I did, I wish I could afford it, but if I could own a 360 console with a certain detail, it would probably be that one.
I like the fact that they have the semi-clear casing. Because most of the time you don't want to see the inner parts of a console like that, but it actually looks very cool and very mechanical, which Forerunner, you associate a lot with those straight edges and a lot of the mechanical feel to it. So I think it is a very nice touch.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure y'all remember. You remember the Halo 3 edition Xbox? And it at 360, it was like the
green one. I have one sitting right here, actually.
Huh?
I have one sitting right here, actually.
I was thought awesome. That looked like... I don't know. I was thought that look almost looked like kind of vaguely ugly. There's like this like kind of weird shade of green and just like orange. Like, what?
Hey, that weird shade of green is Master Chief green, sir.
I get that, but it's like a swamp green and then just like orange. I'm like, what is this? Like, it looks like vomit colors or something.
I think it looks cool.
Yeah, I think it looks pretty sweet. I've got the 360S right now, just the black regular one, but if back then, that was the one I truly wanted, but I ended up just getting a regular white one with the 60 gig hard drive, so I wasn't lucky enough. I don't get any special stuff. I get limited edition games, but as for the consoles, I just stick with what I got.
Right. Well, and it's a matter of whether or not you can afford them. So, I mean, I have the Halo 3 edition Xbox. I have the Halo Reach Xbox. I mean, granted, I don't have the Halo Xbox edition, but I definitely pre-ordered this. Like, once it was announced and once it showed up on Amazon, I'm like, sold.
Booyah. Booyah. Yeah, I did get the Halo Reach. Because
for me, it's like a collector's thing. It's a very expensive thing, but nonetheless.
Very, very expensive, yeah. But I did get the Halo Reach wireless headset, so I'm proud of that. I love that thing. It looks pretty sweet.
So do I.
The controllers with the new Xbox look awesome too. I like the design, how it's kind of symmetrical, and it's got that what is that in the middle, like dropping down? Is that a certain like glyph or anything that we know of, or is it just some kind of strange abstract Halo?
No, they really haven't gone to detail on if it's supposed to mean anything. I just think it's a cool
just
graphic.
A cool design.
Yeah. I mean, we could be totally wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, looking at this,
there's going to be some resemblance of, I think it's just a resemblance of Forerunner art is what this whole package is supposed to be like.
Because it just has that Forerunner feel with the, if you look on the Xbox, you see that blue line running up the side by the disc tray.
Yep.
It kind of reminds me of the plasma rifle when it overheated.
It kind of does, doesn't it?
But it's blue. It's just a solid blue. I guess, you know, since the plasma weapons were like an adaptation of Forerunner technology, maybe that's just some kind of repetitive design that the Forerunner loved to use.
Well, I mean, all of these shapes are very indicative of Forerunner, what we've seen in the games already.
Well, yeah. But you know what I mean.
Right.
Oh, wait. Now, does the Xbox actually light up blue?
Yes.
Yeah.
The LEDs on the controller and the Xboxes are blue.
That is awesome. See, that's a mod that I wanted to get for my controller for so long, but I just was like, forget it. You know, I don't want to spend the money to do it. But heck, if these have the blue built into them, that's a definitely bounty points towards getting it. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, these are I want to say this is the first official controller in Xbox that have different color LEDs.
Now,
well, I mean, just different colors in general.
Well, yeah, that's true. Except for the red ring of death.
Well,
that was a little different than green, wouldn't you say?
Those are red for a different reason, not because they're supposed to be red.
I'm just kidding with you, but
so that brings up an interesting point. What would be the red ring of death for this Xbox?
Orange?
Would it be yellow or orange? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it'd be orange, you know.
Because blue is a little bit further down the spectrum. And yeah.
Or you know, the Prometheans seem to have that orange glow. Maybe it's like Promethean attack, error, you know.
that's an interesting point.
But I doubt it. It'll probably still be red. I don't know.
Hope.
But
it would be cool if it was orange.
Red is a lot easier to implement than orange. On a thing. Plus, it's just a standard error color, so they'll probably just stick with red. But I've never seen my 360S red ring, so I have no clue. And I'm assuming that's what this is. Does this have the 250 gig?
320.
Or is it the 320?
320.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also, I was noticing, you would think that with all this cool hardware, like the two controllers, the 320, the sweet design, Halo 4. But then you look and everything's wireless except for the headset. It kind of makes you go womp womp, you know, like where's my wireless Halo cool headset?
They've never had a wireless headset in any bundle though.
Yeah. But I mean, for the price, heck, why not throw it in?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Of course.
Plus it would just go with that whole Halo 4 new future technology. Cool.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, luckily, I got my Reach headset for free at Halo Fest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Lucky. if I could afford it, and who knows, maybe I'll trade in mine and pre-order it if I can't. Still can.
Huh. I wouldn't say spend the money if you don't necessarily have to, but it definitely looks like something very, very cool.
Very, very.
Very, very
cool. So, are you going to, you said you're going to pre-order, you pre-ordered yours, right?
Mine's already pre-ordered.
Okay. So what are you going to do with the one you have now?
I put it on my bookshelf.
You're just going to let it sit there?
Well, I have a recording Xbox in here, and then I have my, which is my Halo 3 Xbox, and then I have my, Reach console, which is the one I didn't really play on.
Uh-huh.
So I'm looking to get So, like, I'll get myself a Christmas present, which will be a nice big screen TV that I'll put out in my living room, and I'll probably put the console out there.
Oh, okay. So, how many would that make you? Like, 3 or 4?
4.
4. Goodness.
I have a friend borrowing one because his red ringed, and he doesn't have the money to send it to Microsoft yet, so I'm letting him borrow mine.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
Well, right now, in my apartment, I have 2 Xboxes.
You have 2 Xboxes in there?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, Dusty loves collecting consoles.
Hey, if I was in his position, I probably would be too.
I mean, you only need one though, right?
Yeah, you only need one, but I mean,
yeah.
Need is such a strong word.
I think it's a cool.
I run a Halo podcast. I have most of the books. I have Halo 3 Legendary. I have Halo Reach Legendary.
Yeah. Got to be.
I have 2
out.
Additional copies of Limited for Halo Reach.
Yeah. I think that Halo 4 console looks cool. It's a cool design, shiny. It's a good deal to the controllers and the game and all that. Oh, I like that the hard drive is bigger. The 320 is good stuff too.
It's a little on the pricey side.
Yeah.
How much is that running for?
Yeah.
$399.99.
$400 bucks.
Yep.
So, like, I already have the new black built-in Wi-Fi, like 250 gigabyte Xbox. Which I got for Christmas, and like that's pretty good. So I don't really feel like a huge need to get this new one.
Yeah. So. I'm kind of the same way, but I mean, if I really wanted it, I would trade this one in heartbeat.
Yeah.
I have the 250 gig as well.
It's good stuff. Yeah, it's a lot of space.
I got tired of my old Xbox 360, and I had to run an Ethernet cord all the way to my modem. I tripped on that so many times. I didn't want to buy at the time they were like $80, at least where.
Oh yeah, the wireless end things.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I could buy an Ethernet, like a 50-foot Ethernet cord for
$5.
15, yeah, well, like 15 or less, you know, depending on where you get it. And I was like, I'll just get this and run it 50 feet. But only thing is, I had to deal with tripping over it every time I went to the kitchen or the bathroom.
I always prefer a wired connection.
Oh, you do.
Yeah. Even with the controllers, because there would be instances where I play with friends and we made this crazy game type where it was basically just swords all the time. And I would beat out people in sword battles because I had a wired controller over wireless, or at least after multiple times of doing it, that seems to be the case. But
yeah,
it's a very, very small gain in latency, but it can be significant in split second timing. Yeah.
Well, that's a discussion I've heard about. Like, is there really that much difference between wired and a wireless? And for me,
there is.
I don't really notice. I haven't really noticed it for any game that I've played, at least. I don't know. And if I did, it, like you said, it'd be very small. So I don't know. I like the wireless because it doesn't get tangled up in my stuff. I've got a pretty heavy setup with my computer, and I've got a TV that I have a video cord running to, so it acts as a monitor. So, you know, I've got plenty of hardware. Plus, I've got game recording equipment and all that good stuff. So, and that's all wired. So, I get pretty tired of wired. So, anything I can find wireless is a big plus.
I mean, fair enough. To each their own.
Yeah, but hey, if it works for you, Mr. 4 Xboxes.
Yeah, I kind of splurged just a little bit.
I'm not
bit.
One to argue.
Just a little bit. There's also a UNSC controller that actually is not part of the bundle, but it still looks really cool. So once that pops up, I'm going to at least pre-order one of those. And it looks like the D-pads on all these are one of the new rotating ones. The ones that pop out if you rotate them 90 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
I personally don't care for that, but...
Well... I've got that. I have it's a black and white scale, like a grayscale controller.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got that turny D-pad, and I played Fallout New Vegas for a while, and I was thinking, hey, I can use this for my loadout selection, but I didn't notice a very big difference. It's just which feels more comfortable in, you know, on your thumb, at least from what I can tell.
Right.
But it's kind of fun. I've got ADD, so I turn it in a while.
I can just see you turning it back and forth. Ooh, this is cool.
Yeah, just like flipping it, just like spin, watching a cutscene, spin.
Yeah. So, to wrap this up, the Xbox 360 Limited Edition Halo 4 console bundle comes with the two controllers, a standard edition copy of Halo 4, wired headset, 320 gig hard drive, built-in Wi-Fi, and some codes for some exclusive avatar avatar stuff and in-game stuff, including Fotis Armor Avatar Costume, in-game Fotis Spartan Armor, Promethean Crawler Prop, in-game Light Rifle Skin, in-game Unique Unicorn Emblem. So those are the pre-order goodies that you get with the console.
Did you say in-game unicorn?
Yeah.
The unicorn? I would think that would be standard by now, right?
I mean, like they may be making it exclusive. I don't know. Or it might be a different one.
Like, I usually had that Mustang or that unicorn symbol, I think. Did that go back to Halo 2? Didn't they have that?
I think so, yes.
Kind of Mustang? Because I played on Team Unicorn at one of our church events, and we kicked butt. So I hope the unicorn's making a return for normal. I hope you don't have to just pre-order that.
All right. So on the next item up, is talking about the limited edition. So there are some pictures that came out on Mighty Ape, which is one of the internet resellers that is selling or doing the pre-orders for Halo. I forget where they ship to. I forget where they're based out of.
New Zealand?
Is it New Zealand?
Well, it's .nz.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it's New Zealand, so... They're down there for New Zealand and Australia. So this is the only place I think we've seen pictures come out of this. But they have a few pictures of everything unboxed. So from the looks of it, it is a 2-disc game. And that 8-gig install is probably coming from the multiplayer disc. So it looks like one disc is going to be campaign, one disc is going to be multiplayer, and... That 8-gig install is, I'm still not convinced that it's gonna have to be installed. I don't know. It just doesn't quite make sense in my head, because if you have the two discs, it'd be cool to have it installed to where you wouldn't have to swap discs.
Yeah.
So you would have that option, but I would say if you don't want to, or maybe you're running low on hard drive space, like if you have a Xbox Elite. And you have DLC and it might not fit, then I don't see why you just can't flip game discs.
Yeah, now, that 8-gig install, that's not going to be from the marketplace, right? That'll be from the disc?
I believe that's from the disc, yes.
And so it'll just be like installing a regular game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I can't really think of a reason why you would need 8-gig install, unless it was to download the multiplayer onto your Xbox app. Access from one disc.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that makes sense to me too.
I mean, because, you know, if you look at Skyrim, what is that, only like 3 gigs, something like that?
I don't remember.
And I
think 3.7 gigs, something like that.
And yeah, and the Dawnguard DLC was only like 550 megabytes, so mm-hmm. You know, and that's a beautiful game, so I couldn't imagine it being just for graphics, you know, even though they are pushing it.
Well, if you look at Spartan Ops, if you look at the variety of missions they're having to push for this, that could very well fit in an extra 8 gigs.
Depending on how
much variety in the scenery that they're doing, which I'm hoping they don't recycle too many assets for that.
So that's thinking that's like just going to get boring. Part of the download might be for Spartan Ops, and then later they'll like unlock a
I think it's going to be an unlocking system. Yeah.
Okay. That would make sense because, you know, what they could do is here's Spartan Ops what we have, and if they make any minor changes before they release the next episode or whatnot, maybe they could write a small patch, have you update that since you've already downloaded the 8 gigs, just unlock it and it's already fixed, so that thing that we didn't see might have already been fixed before we even play it, and we just unlock it.
Maybe.
So, maybe. Maybe, maybe.
Maybe, maybe. Not exactly sure.
I don't know. It's until we see it, we won't know for certain. Right. So all we can do is guess.
Yeah. So we also have it looks like it's a steel or some kind of metal case. So if you guys got the Halo 2 limited edition, I think it's going to be one of those type of cases, one of those metal cases. We also Sorry?
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. No, you go for it.
I was just looking at the case. I didn't know how much it held, if it just held the game discs or not, how thick probably. It was. But yeah, it'd probably be pretty similar to the Halo 2.
I think it's similar to the Halo 2 and the Halo Wars limited edition cases.
Yeah, I got the Halo 2 one, so I kind of know what it looks like. But
yeah,
I don't know. It just looks a little different.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
I mean, the packaging looks pretty cool.
Oh yeah, definitely. I like the UNSC on the side, and all those maps. I don't know if they'll be included inside that or the bigger case.
The maps?
Well, the little papers, you know, kind of with the limited edition of Halo Reach, how it came with Halsey's journal and whatnot.
So
kind of those little packed away.
Yeah, there's another picture here, and it looks like they have kind of a armor overview, and On the poster it says Gabriel Thorne. Now, it looks like that is possibly one of the Spartan Forges you'll be interacting with, maybe? Or maybe that's a class? I don't know what that is. But we see it in the title of what looks like a Spartan loadout screen. And then there looks like there's almost like an information tablet, and it has Gabriel Thorne on the side of it. So this might be some person that we'll be interacting with in Halo 4, and they're just using those schematics to kind of help give you an introduction to what's going on with the game, what new features they're putting in, and all that kind of stuff. We also see a war game session summary document, so it looks like they're going to introduce kind of what it looks like, what the medals are, how much experience you possibly get for that, what kind of effects or how it affects your in-game progress and that kind of stuff. And we see two or three other packets where it's that looks like those special bubble envelopes that you would get, that you would see in the movies, like this is top secret, blah, 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 blah kind of stuff. So
yeah, do not open unless emergency.
So if any of you guys bought the limited edition for Halo Reach, you know what I'm talking about. It's that. It's like it's the sensitive material for your eyes only kind of stuff.
Yeah. Now, what is this above that little packet? It says Gabriel Thorne on that little pad. What is that, do you think?
I don't know. And I can't tell if it like folds open or if it's because it
looks like a little too big to be a key card. Like, you know, like
well,
in
so
the,
throughout the games, you know how you have the glass screens that is. It's basically, those are their computer interfaces. It's I wonder if it's supposed to be something like that, and it's just they have stuff
like
printed on
pad.
There. Yeah.
That'd be pretty
cool.
Sweet.
As cool as this stuff is, I just like, with every limited edition of any game that offers like physical like lore type stuff like this, I can never help shake the feeling that I'm going to look at this one and then put it away and never look at it ever again. You know, it's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
With Halsey's journal, I still look at that from time to time, you know, drawing and just, I don't
half
know.
Half of that curious. Thing, I don't even know what the hell they were even talking about, like in that half of that book, you know.
Well,
what are you talking about?
It's this kind of stuff is not for the light at heart when it comes to Halo fiction and Halo lore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you have to be a really dedicated fan that's really interested in the story behind Halo and everything that's going on in the Halo universe to really appreciate the content that you're going to get with this kind of package.
I guess so. Like, I guess, I guess because, like, on the gameplay, I'm super hardcore. And on the lore, I like, don't get me wrong, I like the lore a lot. I'm not, like, one of those guys that cares about, like, does not care about the lore, like, whatever. But I guess on, like, the lore story, I'm, like, medium. Like, I definitely like it a lot. It's interesting. But I'm not, like, Rune Brother 1 or something. Like, I'm not, like, super into it. I'm just kind of, like, medium. Like, I appreciate it, and it's a good story. And, like, I like the books and stuff. So, like, I guess this type stuff, like, I'll look at it once, like, I'll like it, like, it'll be cool, I'll appreciate it, but, like, I guess, I mean, yeah, I'm not, like, a super junkie, so I'm not gonna, like, drool over it necessarily, but I like the books a lot and stuff, and,
well, right. When it comes to, like, all this stuff, yeah, if you're just a regular gamer who enjoys the game, you're probably not gonna get the limited edition. I mean, that's just to go without saying, you know.
Or the Xbox,
yeah. And, I mean, I don't know, this is for those dedicated Halo fans out there who just enjoy the lore and the game, and they put it together. Quite a few years ago, I was into, like, a, you know, those story-driven RPG with the typing. Like, you type the story, what your character does. I did something like that with Halo, and I enjoyed the heck out of it. Like, it's just, it was so fun, and we immersed ourselves into the lore and just kind of made our own fan fiction RPG, but we used elements from Halo, and if you were part of that, you had to know something about Halo. You couldn't just go from what the games had. You had to know names, you had to know weapons, and just story behind certain things, and it's that kind of stuff is what I love about Halo, is you can get immersed and have fun, and then they release these, you know, little bits and pieces of what you read and imagine about. And I don't know of any other game. There was the Gears of War 3 limited edition that they released, and it had, like, that medal that Marcus Fenix's dad had received. And that kind of jumps into the lore about, but that's not as strong as the Halo universe, you know. And stuff like this just kind of gets me excited about new things and implementing these into how they fit into the story, and just seeing that on my desk. It just, I don't know, it just makes me happy for Halo.
I think Halo has one of the most in-depth universes in a video game franchise.
Definitely.
And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so successful.
I was talking with Daft earlier today. There's some things in Halo where I wish they would, you know, delve more into. I can't really name any right now, but, you know, with every sci-fi story or any story, period, there's always going to be that little something that we don't quite understand. But that kind of just makes us more curious and get into the lore a little bit more, I think.
Yeah, and the kind of flip side to that is, because of how open and complex the universe is, there's room for these machine makers to come in and insert their own stories. Now, they might not be canonically correct, but it's interesting to see people get so enveloped in this, and they make content that is very fitting of the universe.
Yeah.
Like, you could look at it and be like, oh, that's pretty cool. I could see that happening in something like this.
It's like a jigsaw puzzle, and you get a new piece every time they release a new Halo game, or, you know, or the new series they're going to have.
And it's a one big giant sandbox.
Yeah.
For creativity.
You just keep adding pieces to the puzzle, and it just looks even more cool and more cool and more cool. And then you're just like, this is so awesome. It just never stops.
Yep. All right. Unless anyone else has anything to say, we have some user submissions that we can go through. All right. Anyone else have any final comments on the console or the limited edition? I'll take that as a no.
Cool. Woo.
All right. So we have some emails from you guys, some short, some long. So we're going to go through those. Farmer or Kalel, I'll let you take the first two since those are short. We'd like to be kind to our guests here, so.
All right.
I feel much love.
So whichever one of you guys wants to go first.
Farmer?
Sure. If somebody could just clarify the name of this guy, I can't
Redeemed Spartan 05.
Ah. There we go. Okay, so Redeemed Spartan 05 writes in and says, "Hey guys, since the brutes don't appear to be making an appearance in Halo 4, do you think they will still have the gravity hammer? Or do you think that there will be a Promethean equivalent? Because I don't see 343i taking out Griffball. So, as always, keep fracking those trucks."
So, brutes have never been a multiplayer anyways.
No. Yeah.
And for Halo 4, we haven't been told that we're not going to see brutes. I mean, it hasn't been confirmed or denied, so there's still the possibility we may see them. But yeah, I think the hammer is going to stay in there. I don't think we'll see a Promethean equivalent of the gravity hammer.
Well, I don't know. That kind of sounds interesting. What if they did put a Promethean equivalent?
That just doesn't seem like a foreigner weapon from all the... I mean, so all the weapons that we've seen so far, the Sentinel beams, the scatter shot, the light rifle, they're all energy-based weapons. How do you make an energy-based weapon out of a hammer?
I don't know. Would that be more classified as a sonic weapon, or would that still be like an energy weapon?
It's a melee weapon.
Well, but I mean, you know, when you hit, it makes that...
Yeah.
Would that be a sonic weapon? I mean, what would that be classified as, besides melee?
I honestly don't know.
So,
because it's supposed to be alter fields of gravity.
Uh-huh. Well, then I guess that wouldn't be
similar to slipstream space stuff.
Probably. I don't know. That is, you know, kind of the forerunner technology, slip space with all the gravity and whatnot, energy weapons. But
in my mind, it just doesn't quite fit with Promethean tech.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You never know. You know, it's 343. It's not Bungie. So maybe they want to kind of make their own debut with a Promethean equivalent, so...
Possibly.
It would be interesting. I don't care either way as long as it's there. I love me some Griffball, so... But as long as it's Griffball. There... And it... Huh?
Griffball.
But as long as it's there, it's fine with me. It may look a little different. I hope they keep the same shape if it is different, like a Promethean weapon.
It'll be the same shape.
But, well, I mean, you know, how this... Promethean's a little bit more smooth. I didn't know if they were going to change it because it had blades on it, you know, like on the back and on the front. So I don't know if they just make it an actual hammer or if it would have blades on it. You know, if they kept the gravity hammer,
make it Thor's hammer,
of course. Yeah, like a dual wielding hammer system. So, but they're not going to have dual wielding, are they?
No.
No, they're not. So. I guess Thor's hammer would have to be out. I'd love to dual wield two of those.
Oh,
that'd
gosh.
Be awesome.
Oh, boy.
Imagine. but I don't know. It's a cool concept, a Promethean brute hammer.
I guess. I just don't see it making much sense.
I don't know.
Anyways, you want to read the next one?
Sure. Okay, this one's from unnamed soldier 217. 217.
Yep.
Okay. Hey guys, any idea why the Super Slayer playlist went from 5v5 to 4v4? What's the point of keeping it when you can do regular Team Slayer?
To the TU settings.
I love the 5. Go ahead.
Go on.
Well, I love the 5v5 matches. Even though it's only one extra player, it was a good change of pace from 4v4 Slayer. I thought it was a great choice if you didn't want to play big team battle or normal team Slayer. I hope they update it to 5 players again. High hopes. Keep up the good work.
I don't remember Super Slayer ever being 5v5, to be honest.
Maybe when they first came out. He's thinking of Squad Slayer, right? Don't you think he's thinking of Squad Slayer, which was 5v5?
Team Objective is 5v5.
No, but do you remember Squad Slayer?
Oh, yeah.
It was 5v5 Slayer. Maybe he's thinking of that.
Okay. Well, yeah, if he's thinking of that, then that playlist got taken out to make way for Super Slayer.
Yeah. Which, to answer your question, like, both Team Slayer and Super Slayer both have four people per team. Like, why do they exist at the same time? It's because Team Slayer is the vanilla settings of Reach, and then Super Slayer is the title update settings. Like, it's, you know, they're both Team Slayer just with the two different settings. In case, like, for the diehard, you know, like, they love, people love the vanilla settings, they can still go play Team Slayer for that.
Right.
I don't mind either way. I just want to kill stuff.
I like TU. I like TU settings better because there's,
like,
not
TU
as much
settings better.
There's not as much DMR bloom, and armor lock is not in most TU game types. Like that's how Reach should have been from launch.
Yeah, and would have been way better. It's only 85% bloom, but that makes a big difference.
Yeah,
Is still there, but it's a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's a healthy amount of bloom, but yeah, it's not too much.
Right.
Well, you know, if it is Super Slayer, I would hope it would have more than just 4v4, because Slayer, in that usually 4v4? Or...
Yeah, Slayer's usually 4v4.
So, if it's Super Slayer, it should be better, right? I mean, more? I mean, that would make sense to me. Otherwise, you would just take that Super right out, and it would just be Slayer. So, I don't know, if they do 5v5, I think it would match the title, match the playlist. Unless they updated it with, you know, certain weapons and...
I mean, the only reason they have the different playlists is because they have the TU settings in that playlist, and then the Team Slayer are the vanilla settings. Yeah. That's the only distinction.
Yeah, but, I mean, for Halo 4, with all the new things that they're adding, so I don't know how much different it would be if you had 5v5.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We will see.
All right. Daff, do you want to do the next one? Do you want me to take it? I'll take it. You can do the next one.
Okay. All right. I'm logging into the
email. Oh. Well, it's in the
guard?
Chat. It's in the chat. Yeah.
Take guard? No. Yep.
So, CapAwesome9870 writes in, I do agree that the... this is more political stuff. So this is for Daft.
This is awesome.
This is for Daft. That the tax penalty.
Let me read this.
Okay,
awesome.
You can read it.
I do agree that the tax/penalty debate is just a con game to get people to like the healthcare, even if it destroys the healthcare system we currently have. But comparing that to the 8GB install is a little off. First, this is the natural evolution of games. As they get better graphics, they get bigger in file size, thus the 8GB size. Second, this is a natural evolution of speed. DVD drives are slow at transferring, especially when it comes to random accesses of the disk, or even accessing more so when it is randomly accessing multiple files from multiple places. The DVD drive is designed for playing movies, not so much for games. Hard drive and little flash drives, on the other hand, have faster access times, and especially random access. This making maps load a lot faster, and will not have to wait for the DVD drive to find a file. I would not call this a penalty or tax for the console. I would consider this more of a, I want to put something big in the back of my truck, and I need too good rope to do it.
I need a good rope to
do it. Yeah, I need a good rope to. If it was like when Halo 4 hits, everyone must have 8GB HDD or console will shut down, that would be a penalty/tax. I mean, I think, I know what he means. Like,
But DVD technology, if you look at the Halo 3 multiplayer stuff, like, they did tests, and the DVD actually read faster because of how they optimized the disc. You can optimize game content layout on a disc to where it loads fast. And you look at look at Halo CEA. If you have the game installed, it loads the game from the hard drive. But if you don't, you get this caching screen. It's like, yeah, it takes a little bit extra time, but it's not going to hinder you from playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I get it. If you don't have a hard drive enough for your Xbox, what are you doing? I get that. But
yeah, it's not really like forcing you. It's kind of just like a get with the times issue.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be a limiting factor to enjoy the experience. In my opinion,
but you could say that about, like, it's like what I was saying. Like,
The hot Nintendo games are going to be for the Wii now, not the GameCube. I got to go buy a Wii now. Well, so is that limiting the experience? Because like the Nintendo wants to move on to a new console, but like people don't want to buy it. Like, is that limiting the experience in your logic, or you know, like what is limiting the experience?
Well, that's more because it's a different console. That's not
okay. I was just
because of functionality.
I was just using that as an example, but
yeah.
I mean, okay. Could you say like in a way, Halo 4 is kind of like it's kind of for like Xbox 360 0.5. In a way,
yeah.
You know, you need like a big hard drive. And that's basically what it is. You say limited the experience, but it really is just like get with the times. Like this is just such a big technologically advanced game. I mean, you just gotta have the technology to run it.
I mean, thing is,
go ahead.
I don't know. In my opinion, a feature shouldn't be limited by a standard that's not hard set. So it's not a requirement for all games that you have to have a hard drive. And I think that's actually one of the requirements for Xbox is that it has to be able to run without a hard drive. That's a core requirement for something to get licensed or certified to run on the Xbox. It has to be able to run without a hard drive.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, honestly, if you're a real gamer, you're going to have more than 8 gigabyte hard drive. I mean,
yeah, but if you're a casual gamer, then
yeah, but these consoles that sell 4 gigabyte hard drive, in my opinion, that's kind of a laugh.
They're not hard drives. I think they're just memory, installed memory.
Is it? Does it not have the 4 gig hard drive?
No, I think it's onboard memory. I don't think it's a hard drive.
So can you insert a hard drive on those?
Yeah.
Okay, but I mean, even with that, like it's just. 4 gigs isn't much, and you know if you do want the
but it's enough for a good amount of saves and
well yeah but
and
I mean
DLC
how many...
whenever you want to play it, and you can re-download DLC so
yeah but if you're a big Halo fan you're gonna have more than 8 gigs install easy
but if you're not a big Halo fan you shouldn't have to install an eight gig
well,
thing
yeah.
in order to play
well I mean I do now yeah I do agree it shouldn't have to be downloaded but I mean. Really, if you play these good games and you do want quality, I mean, most gamers are going to have, you know, 8 gigs to install it.
Right. Yeah.
I do agree. You shouldn't have to install it. That's kind of, you know, putting on somebody something that they don't necessarily agree with is kind of making them do things. And you don't want gamers, no matter how hardcore they are, feeling that they have to do something. You know, in order to enjoy this content, in order to enjoy this game, even if they love Halo, you know,
right.
I don't know. Maybe there is a hardcore Halo fan that has a 4 gig Xbox 360, you know, but
I mean, maybe
you know,
that's all they can afford. I mean, look at all the 12-year-olds.
Oh, don't even remind me. Please don't remind me. But, you know, it should not be pressed on. It shouldn't be something that you have to do, but you know, I would just think most people have more than 8 gigs by now.
True.
Like, I think, like, ultimately, the conclusion of this discussion is like, I mean, healthcare is healthcare. Like the guy said, games do need. No, I'm serious because like he brought it up. Healthcare is healthcare, and games, like he said, do evolve over time, and they are a little different. Just kind of what I was saying with the, like, you know, tax on your hard drive kind of like thing. The tax penalty debate in real life was just very, like, prevalent at the time. And then the hard drive, maybe small controversy popped up. And, like, I just saw, like, a lot of, like, similarities in them. And I guess if you really flesh out, look into it, like, they are, like I was saying, they are two different things ultimately. But there's just some similarities and differences to them, so.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it as long as it's not forced, a forced download, I think everything will be all good. But we'll see.
Right. Okay, so let's move on to the next one. This one comes from E103 Beta 1, or Echo 103 Beta 1, however you say that. He says, "Hey, Podtacular, congrats on the 300th episode." Well, as you officially put it, well, it is, so... I don't know if I'll be around to listen to the live episode, so please record that even though I know you'll probably will, unless you decide to not. So just we recorded it. You're good to go. He goes on to say, well, anyways, I have no clue what you guys will be talking about during the show, but I just wanted to make this quick. I just want to tell you that you're all doing a good job with the show. Some of the guests and you guys are fantastic, and your host, who should all be... Hang on. Some of the guests you guys get are fantastic, and your host, who should all be gathered around the roundtable, are some of the best. You should all be proud of what you do. When I need my Halo fanboy high, I go to you guys for a hit. Thank you for that. Well, in case, go on with the show. Thanks for your time. Keep on fragging dupesters and haters.
Doubters.
Doubt. Okay, that does say doubters. Wow. Okay. Fail. And possibly that one group of people who light fireworks on days that aren't holidays, but that just might be me. See you around the forums and quite hopefully the Halo Universe beta. So, thank you for that. Yeah, episode 300 didn't go off exactly as we planned it. We were hoping for some more people, but we did have a good time nonetheless. So we did record it. It is on our website now. It's a lot better quality than we did for our 200th episode and 4th year anniversary, so definitely go check it out. So, Farmer, you want to take Bioman?
Yep. Bioman 998. That's right. Writes in, and he says, first, thanks for reading my first submission. Second, a quick discussion, if you will. Vehicles you wish were in a Halo game, Halo 4 to 6, or a modded version, Halo CE Custom Edition, or Halo 2 Vista seem likely, of an older Halo game. If you could pick one, I would say the Needle of Ghost, 15 shots to break shields, 9 to super combine, rate of fire slightly faster than the Halo Reach plasma rifle. The needles move about twice as fast as than the Halo CE needler. We track about the same as Halo CE. After about 150 shots, it reloads, and the needles around the nose, /front, pop back up. It takes around as long as the cooldown from the Warthog turret. When it is destroyed and explodes, it's more pink, like Revenant, than blue, like the Ghost, and has an area of effect slightly less than half that of a frag grenade. The boost is slightly slower than the normal Ghost, and takes longer to recharge. It's not necessarily canon, but considering the Covenant have used the same design for quite some time, maybe the Huragok has had a new idea.
I'm assuming the Huragok is some kind of Halo lore entity that I'm unaware of at the moment. But, yeah, there's a reason the vehicles are in there, and those that are in there. Yeah, I guess doing hybrid vehicles like that, though. One thing that I've seen, and this isn't necessarily a vehicle, but there was a map on Halo CE, and they actually had a needle grenade. And it was very similar to the spike grenade, but instead of shooting out the spikes, they had needles. And there would be the super combine explosion that would be left by the grenade, but then all these needle shards shot out, and if you actually took a bunch, if you took enough needles, the same amount that you would get from a regular needle gun, they could super combine on you and explode. So.
Oh, hey, Dusty, by the way, Huragok are the engineers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Just throwing that in there so you'll know. And I don't know, the putting in a needler grenade would be kind of cool. But I would think... I think I like the Ghost how it is, and they probably haven't... The Covenant probably hasn't changed the Ghost.
I mean, you could possibly do a fuel rod Ghost, maybe.
I think we should leave the fuel rod to the Banshees, you know? I don't know, that just seems more like the Banshee thing. If you've got a ground vehicle that has the fuel rod cannon, like, remember from Halo 3, they had the anti-air fuel rod Wraith?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Although you could really never use it unless you tricked it.
Oh, I mean, I've done it before. I don't know if y'all have. It's pretty fun. But I don't know, putting that in multiplayer, you know, in campaign, it's one thing. In multiplayer, I don't know. I don't know how that would really take. Plus about the 150, the 150 shots thing, and it quote unquote reloads, he says. I don't know. I don't want to have to worry about an ammo counter on my vehicles. Unless it's like hidden and it's just, it shoots.
I think it'd be more like of a overheat, not necessarily a reload.
Yeah, it kind of shoots faster, and then at a certain, maybe
like,
the overheat.
Like the Warthogs in Halo Reach. It's like,
and maybe if they did that, the cool or the overheat process would be shorter. Like what I mean by like you would reach the overheat limit faster because those things are needles and they track. I'm assuming they would track. And I don't know. I don't think that's needed in Halo multiplayer. I think the Ghost is just fine.
This isn't something that we're talking about putting in the game. This would be.
Oh yeah.
What he's asking is like, what would be a cool vehicle that, like, would be interesting to have in the game? Is what he's going for, I think.
There's
always
would
the flying warthog.
Oh yeah, I've flown those a couple of times, it would be interesting to have a Covenant vehicle that had like a needle gun. But would you have them as the needler needles or the needle rifle needles? Kind of like you remember the Brute choppers, how they kind of shot that.
I would say like a mix between the two. So it needs to have a quicker speed.
So it
doesn't really have a chance to track, but it needs to be a small enough needle to where you can take quite a few of them without dying.
Well, yeah. Like I was saying with the Brute Chopper, you remember the.
So I think maybe the size of like the needle weapon, but the speed and. Of the needle rifle.
Yeah, maybe it could shoot. Were you saying faster than the needle rifle or about the same?
A little bit slower.
Oh, a little bit slower.
So maybe it's about as fast or maybe a little bit faster than how the plasma gets shot out of the Ghost as it is right now.
Uh-huh.
But make it to where the needles don't track.
Yeah, see, if the needles track, that.
If the needle's tracked, then that's way overpowered.
That would be a very short-range vehicle, and that wouldn't make sense. Because it wouldn't make sense for it to track halfway across the map. But, you know, if it had that kind of precision that the needle rifle has, that'd be interesting. Definitely.
Right. I don't know, Daft, Farmer, do you guys have any ideas of random vehicles that you would want in Halo? Or they'd be interesting to see.
I just want them to bring the chopper back.
Chopper would be a nice addition.
That's
back
such
in
a cool vehicle.
I loved it, dude. I would just like charge through warthogs like nothing, like butter.
Oh yeah, I love it. Just like I love having just like a frontal collision with a warthog, and the chopper would always win.
Yeah,
and go ahead.
I was playing Halo 3 with some of the Arm to Flag guys last week, and I got on the chopper on Sandtrap. I'm like, oh yeah, this feels so right.
Yeah, when you see a chopper running, it's like an element in the game of, holy crap, turn the other way and run. You know, like, get out of this guy's way, try to take him out
from
the side.
You get splattered, you get hit in a vehicle, and you're screwed. I mean, it's so much fun.
There's like, that thing, besides the tank, it could stop almost anything and just ram right through, and human vehicles had no chance.
Maybe not quite a Wraith, but. And then it was always funny to get splattered by one of the wheels.
Oh yeah. I don't know, the Brute Chopper, when they put that in, that was really cool. I loved riding that through the campaign. I just owned all kinds of Covenant, and I love to boost through with that short little boost, do like jumps and mm-hmm. wheelies and all kinds of stuff.
Crazy. All right, you want to read the last one?
Sure. Okay, this one's from Cody. Says, hey guys, really enjoyed the 300th episode. The original Podtacular guys were awesome. I like the rant about the modern video game companies being evil. Also, On Live is great. Thanks for mentioning that. There was a lot of humor and off-topic stuff, which is great. On to the question. Do you think 343 will put any non-Forge remakes in Halo 4? I'm hoping for a Last Resort remake. That would be cool.
Map packs.
Like Halo 2?
They'll be in the map packs. If we see any, they'll be in the map packs.
Do you think they'll have like a kind of a Halo 2 disc map pack ever again? Or is that
if
all,
the rumors about having a Halo 2 Vista come out, then yes.
But I mean, like, what you think that it was all done away with, the DLC and whatnot? Like, they're never going to put in those bonus map packs?
Well, the only ones that we don't have from Halo 2 now that were Xbox exclusive were Tombstone, which is a Hang 'em High remake, and then Desolation, which was a... what's the map in Halo 1 called? Derelict?
Was it Derelict?
Yeah, I think it was Derelict.
Yeah, that...
Those were
the one with the two ships, right?
No.
Or the ship that was split in half, or what was that?
No, it was... You had the Outer Ring, and then you had the upper bridges. You had camo in the middle, you had shotguns on the outside, and you had teleporters going everywhere.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
I don't know, that would be nice for Last Resort remake.
I'm thinking anything that's playable now on Xbox Live is not going to have priority on being remade. So I don't think we're going to see Last Resort. I don't think we'll see any of the stuff that came out with the Halo anniversary. We could see maybe some native or some Halo 3 specific maps be remade for it, but I think they haven't explicitly said this, but they're kind of hinting at the fact that all the maps that they're going to be released with the game on launch day are going to be all unique new maps. And with the DLC maps, they've always had remakes. Ever since Halo 2, they've always had remakes of maps in some way or form. Actually, come to think about it, they've always had at least one remake in just the base set, so maybe we might see one. I don't know. But for the attitude they're giving off is that they're not going to be having remakes in the initial set. So.
I don't know. I just love that reminiscing of old maps. That maybe that's just me.
Well, yeah. I mean, who doesn't? Right?
Last Resort. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know. They've already made it reach twice, right?
Yeah. Well, they made it in Halo 2, and they made it in Halo 3. Last Resort. It was Zanzibar, and now it's Last Resort.
So...
And that's our sign to wrap up.
They did it again.
I'm tired.
Any final comments from anybody?
Pretty much clear. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you guys for being on.
Yeah, thanks.
Do you guys have Twitters or Facebooks or anything that you guys want to share out real quick?
I've got a Facebook. It's just this normal old Facebook. It's Zach Fawcett.
All right. Farmer.
I've got stuff, but I doubt people would like to follow me. I'm not the kind of guy that broadcasts stuff, so...
All right.
No, you're not getting my stuff.
All right, that's fine. Fine by me. All right, guys, thank you for listening to this and taking the time to make time in however you listen to this, whether it's you're driving on your way to work or maybe you're just sitting relaxing while you're playing Halo. We appreciate all you guys that listen to our show, and thank you again for helping us make it to 300 episodes. Huge milestone for us.
Ooh.
Make sure you check out the forums and check out Daft's Corner. I know he likes it over there on the 2012 thread. We have some other discussions going on too about other video games and things that are going on. Assassin's Creed is a big one. I think a lot of people, at least in Podtaglar, are really interested in. So make sure you check out the forums. Check out our beta forums. Hopefully, I have some time to work on those again this weekend. You can also email us. As you heard, we read some submissions on the show tonight. And if you want to do that, you can send your emails to submissions@podtacular.com. Or you can use the big green button on the homepage, which is at podtacular.com. You can also send us a voicemail at 206-339-6937 and leave a Halo-related message. And anything you guys send us could be questions that you have about any of the news that's come out recently or comments that you have on stuff we've talked about in the show. Maybe a funny moment that you've had in Halo 3 or Halo Reach, a map you're working on, a custom game type you thought was fun. Anything that's Halo related, we want to hear about it. So go ahead and send it our way, and we will make sure to inform the rest of the listeners.
Woo.
All right. Also, as of when this recording probably goes out, there's one more day left on bidding for the signed Rooster Teeth poster. So make sure you head over to eBay, and the links are on the particular homepage, so make sure you go check them out. All proceeds go to contribute Child's Play, so if you need a reason to donate to them, make sure you give a stop by. So until next time, guys, keep on fragging trucks.